Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There is often a pattern in how serial killers strike, or in the victims that they choose, whether it be sex workers, children, or in this case, the elderly. This is the case known as El Madaviejitas, translated to English, the Little Old Lady Killer. It is one of Mexico's most prolific serial killer cases, with a twist that authorities never saw coming. My name is Ben.
And I'm Nicole, and you're listening to Wicked and Grim,
a true crime podcast. Opening my drink here. Don't mind me.
Mm-hmm.
It's coffee.
Your warm coffee. I'm drinking an iced coffee. Quite nice.
I love coffee. I don't know if I could live without it. I don't drink it for the caffeine. It's just like a nice warm hug. And I love that.
It helps though, doesn't it?
I mean, it doesn't really help me all that much. I'm sure it helps many people. And I'm sure it might help me in small ways that I don't really notice. It's just, I don't know. It's just nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's just nice. Like when you're like super warm and like that cold glass of water just hits right.
Yeah.
It's like that's how coffee just hits in the morning. It's like, ah.
Yes. Well, that's why I'm drinking an iced coffee. Well, I don't drink coffee, but I occasionally would drink ice. And I went to the gym this morning, so I don't really feel like a warm beverage.
Understandable. Your body temperature's already up there because you're moving, you're working, you're doing your thing.
Yeah, I was lifting some heavy weights.
Touche. Good job. Good on you. I probably won't be doing any drinks on the show here for a little bit. I'm on a drought where I decided I'm not going to be drinking for a little while. So
nothing wrong with that?
No, there's not. So, but I just want to note, because I'm sure there's many of you out there, when we do open a drink in the show, you have a drink of water, coffee, whatever it is, that's cool too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm not drinking because I found myself drinking a little too much recently. My weights, I'm starting to go up a little bit weight. I want to lose some weight, and my family has a history of high blood pressure, and I'm starting to get headaches, which might be related. So
yeah,
dietary reasons, I'm starting to cut things back.
Just stepping back and reflecting on what you can change, eh?
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so there will be some more drinks on the show, but there will always be drinks on the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would say like half the time I'm probably not drinking an alcoholic beverage, I would say.
Is that what you're saying?
No, I meant like when we're doing our shows. I often will not have an alcoholic beverage.
It's usually me.
Yeah, like I have tea or I have other weird drink. I drink a lot of weird drinks. I think you've mentioned that before.
Yes, you do.
But I like flavored drinks and stuff.
That's okay. Hey, you do you. Judge not, right?
Mm-hmm.
We did actually, I really wanted a drink the other day because we just finished taxes.
Yeah.
A lot of that stress stuff out the window. So it was like, I don't know, a day or two ago, we just finally got our taxes submitted.
Which is real early for us. I think we deserve a big pat on the back for that.
No kidding. But it's, I mean, we've been just go, go, go nonstop. And so thankfully that's off our shoulders. And I feel like a massive weight has just been lifted.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy that's done.
Yeah. Taxes suck.
It does, especially owning your own business. Wow.
Well, and the fact that you just have to do it every year.
Right.
Like, I just think it's so much to ask of a person, but yeah. I don't know.
I get it, but it sucks. But also tax process, just, I don't know. It could be much more efficient.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyways, that aside, we do have a patron to thank this week.
Who do we got?
So Sherry Swain signed up over on Patreon, getting that exclusive behind the scenes content, the extra episode, all that good, good, good stuff.
Nice.
So thank you, Sherry, very much. Yeah. We appreciate it.
We sure do.
If you want to join us over on Patreon, link is down below. They got some information recently that we will be sharing with you guys soon, but they got that that behind the scenes info, the heads up, then, and they know stuff. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way.
They know stuff. And honestly, they know stuff sometimes at the very same time as me.
Yeah, and me. Because well, it's like, I just think of like, hey, maybe I should talk about it with you.
We'll do like pre-shows and Ben's like, I haven't talked to Nicole about this yet, but
yeah,
it's like, okay.
And we just throw it out there. Which we could throw it out there on this episode, might as well, on the exact thing you're talking about. We're coming up on our 200th episode soon. So we're planning on doing something big with that. We just don't know yet, basically. Mm-hmm. So
that yeah, was kind that's of wild.
Thing. Yeah, we threw out some ideas, but those ideas we won't share until they're concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. So what do you got for us today?
I have a Spanish case where I am going to butcher a lot of names. That's what I have for you.
Well, honestly, your introduction, you did well.
It took me several takes, multiple practices of that title. And I'm not Spanish speaking. So I want to apologize in advance. It is not my tongue. I am Canadian. I say A and Putin. I know how to say that, but I do not know how to say Spanish words.
But you're going to try your best. And that's all that matters, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that there's going to be some people out there right now arguing with me on how to say Putin. It is Putin, not poutine.
I say poutine.
I generally say poutine. Just I was repping Canadian pronunciation, so I had to say it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, moving on. We are going to get into this case. It is an interesting ride. So we are discussing one of Mexico's most prolific serial killers. And while I was researching and writing this case, I had two different options on how I was going to write this.
Okay.
Okay. So option one, I hide a major piece of the case and reveal it when authorities also discovered it. Because I said there was a big plot twist, right?
Right. You did.
Or two, I tell you that information up front so you have the opportunity to look back or look at it with another perspective, knowing this key detail as we go through the case. So I struggled with that a little bit, knowing which way to write this. I opted for, which one do you think?
Oh, I'm going to say the first option.
I opted for option two.
Shit, I knew it was option two, but you would generally pick option one. So
generally, I do.
Up.
Generally, I do, but I don't want to tell every story the same.
True.
And I think it's very interesting to look at this story with the information up front, knowing this key piece of information, because it changes everything on how you perceive the case.
Okay,
so
fair enough.
I think that insight is quite beneficial for this one. So that's why I chose to tell this story a bit different. Okay. So this case, I'll tell you right now, that piece of information. Now, I told you it's known as the Little Old Lady Killer, and the perpetrator was Mexico's first female serial killer. That is the big piece of information. Female serial killer. That is major.
That's
major
big.
Portion.
Yeah.
So women make up about only 15% of serial killers. So this played a very big role in the investigation and how the story played out.
15%, eh?
Which is rather low.
Yeah. I don't know if that's alarming or not alarming.
I don't know either, but I think it would make for much easier rate of female serial killers to get away with it because of that information.
Mm.
Because if you look at a case where, okay, we have a serial killer on the loose, generally speaking, you're going to be looking for, statistically, a male perpetrator,
mm-hmm.
which is exactly the case in what happened here.
Right.
So this individual got away with things for a lot longer than they should have because of that.
Because detail. They're female.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, it makes sense in some ways. Not that females can't be strong, but like men typically are stronger and then they would be able to overpower their victims a little bit easier, I guess.
Like, well, and I think it comes down to biology speaking. I think because like we're walking a fine line here. We're going to get into some transgender stuff because female, male and perspectives and stuff like that. But I think biology speaking, I think testosterone, and this is purely speculation on my part. I think testosterone might play a part in that. And I think I mentioned this on one of our earlier episodes, during menstrual cycles with women, the testosterone spikes. And that's generally when you get, you know, a little bit more aggressive. And I think men, biological males, having that testosterone might naturally make them more aggressive. That's my theory.
I like how you're just like, I feel like you're pedaling so gently as you're looking at me like, don't rage.
It's a very sensitive topic for many people, and I understand that. Mm-hmm. So biological females during menstruation, as far as I'm aware, I'm no scientist, that could be incorrect, but as far as I'm aware, during menstruation, testosterone spikes in their system. Mm-hmm. And it could be a reason why that is the case.
Yeah.
So with men having that extra testosterone, I mean, it could basically be like dudes are just PMSing all the time. I don't know.
Well, even the other day, I was just like, I'm just like angry.
Yeah.
You're like, holy shit, you just want me to leave for a little bit?
Yeah, just throw chocolate at you. Sorry. Anyways, we're going to get onto this. So the profile of the victims that this individual was after were women over the age of 60, so 60 and over. And many of them were women who lived alone. So as I mentioned, I'm going to be butchering names, but I am going to do my best. Maria de la Luz Gonzalez Anya would be the first victim who would lose her life to this new serial killer. I also do want to mention with a lot of these Spanish names or these Mexican individuals, their names are made up of multiple parts. Mm. Rather than like one, two, or three names, there's like five, six, seven parts to their name.
Oh, okay.
Which make it even more likely that I'm going to butcher it. So besides that, though, it was on November 25th of 2002 when 64-year-old Maria received a knock at her front door. She answered it and opened it only just a crack to see who was there, as she wasn't really expecting anybody. Mm-hmm. Standing on the other side of the door was a social worker. She showed her working identification, her government working identification, and said that she was there to help fill out some paperwork and forms regarding some government financial aid. Maria opened up the door and let the social worker inside. This was the last time Maria would be seen alive. It would be the next day that her body would be discovered laying on her living room floor. She had been violently beaten and strangled to death.
Oh, really?
Yes.
This is why I never open the fucking door for anybody.
Yeah, fair
enough.
That's
fucking terrifying right there.
Yeah.
Holy shit, because that's actually like a pretty believable kind of story, you know?
Oh, it most certainly is. Yeah, you have someone there who's actually offering like assistance to someone who clearly potentially may be needing assistance. Mm-hmm. And if you have a government person or working for the government, hey, checks out, makes sense. Come on. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So Maria's apartment was also found to have been looted, and with investigators trying to find as many answers as they could, they were left with very little, other than a few stray fingerprints that they couldn't really find a match to. Now, after this story broke the news, media began running articles regarding a killer on the loose that they had dubbed El Maravillitas. I really hope I'm pronouncing that right. I'm trying my best, which translates or means the little old lady killer. This in itself was the very first instance of the murder being painted as a man, which statistically speaking is, as we already mentioned, most probable because L is used for masculine nouns and La is used for feminine nouns. And we have El Maravillitas.
Oh, okay. So yes. It was just assumed.
It was just assumed.
Yeah.
And this becomes a very big theme throughout this case and is a very big reason as to why so many victims fell to the hand of the little old lady killer.
So many victims, hey?
So many victims. So regardless of this gender aspect, authorities quickly brushed off the idea of this being any sort of serial killer, especially anyone attached to the moniker that they had now been given. It is not exactly known if the new title fueled more killings or if they just continued their path on their own terms. But 3 months later, the killer would strike again, giving more merit to their new name. On March 2nd, Guillermina Leona Orzapina, who was 84, was found strangled just like her previous victim. Once again, there was a quiet period for a few months, until July 25th. Maria Guadalupe Aguilar Cortina, 86, was found dead and had also been strangled.
Oh man, they're in their 80s?
Yes.
Like, not that it's any age is a good age, you know, to lose your life in this way, but I just feel like you don't get to be that age just to be like, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying, but that is just not okay.
It's, I mean, no murder is okay, but when you are preying on someone who is much more defenseless, whether it young or old, it seems so much worse. Because it's like, this is a defenseless person who, A, if they're young, had so much more life to live, or B, as you're saying, got to this age, they deserve way better.
So yeah. I totally thank understand. You for wording that properly. Because I'm like, I don't know how to word this properly, but that just, I mean, is just brutal. That's brutal.
Yeah, it really is. On October 9th, Maria Guadalupe de la Vega Morales, there's a lot of Marias in this case.
You're doing good.
Thank you. 87 years old, was found in her home, tied to a chair, strangled to death, and both of her arms were broken.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. The next victim in the string of senior women's deaths would change the pattern up a little bit. Up until now, there seemed to be about a 3-month-ish gap between each killing. However, this time, the gap in between would be much less than a month. On October 24th, Maria del Carmen Munoz Cote del Gavan, who was 78 years old, opened her door to a stranger, just as the rest before her, and as a result, was found strangled in her home. And same with Lucretia Elsa Calvo Marquin, who was 85 years old and was found strangled in her home on November 4th.
And this is in the 60s too, or something, I think you had said, right?
No, this is 2000s.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was the 60s, and I was like, well, people were maybe more trusting back then. Because it's like surprising that people are still kind of opening their doors, but they're also opening their doors to a female. When, you know, it's thought that this
female government worker who's supposed to be. But yeah, no, this is occurring in 2002. So.
Jeez. Yeah. Okay. I don't know why I had the 60s.
I don't know. You're just picturing it back then, I guess, for some reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, they've got quite a few murders on their hand already. And the public is, of course, very aware of this and very frightened as a matter of what's going on. And by now, authorities were just starting to come to the terms of the idea that they may have a serial killer on their hands.
Okay.
Yeah. So a concept that the media and public were, as I already mentioned, very well aware of. And as a result, authorities were kind of getting some flack from the public for being so late to this realization. Mm. And that is a theme throughout this case as well, is the backlash from the public and media on the response from the authorities.
Okay, like that it wasn't a good response necessarily?
Correct. Or? They're like, you're so late to the party on this realization. You're now just thinking, oh, we might have a serial killer on our hands. It's been like half a year or whatever, a year at this point, and we've got like 5 or 6 deaths.
Yeah. Yeah. You would think by now you would kind of realize that, yeah, I suppose.
One would think. So the public and media were not too impressed, but... yeah. Regardless, though, testimonies of anyone with any information and evidence that was found that was left behind, the police were able to come up with somewhat of a profile on who they were looking for. Now, the individual was said to be a tall man with some rougher features, and they were posing as a nurse or social worker to gain access to the apartments of their victims. However, due to some political issues, the police didn't really release info until December, which was a month or so later, and with a sketch as well, but only one, a sketch that was labeled as a person of interest.
Okay.
Not even a suspect. Like, oh, this is a person of interest.
Huh.
So again, kind of getting some flack for not lack of trying, but lack of concreteness, I guess, to it. I'm not really sure how to put it into words. Lack of, foundation, I guess, would be a good way to do it. Mm-hmm. Lack of foundation for this case. They're just kind of slack with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is interesting, though, that they got the career that they were kind of portraying, right, as a social worker, like trying to enter houses and stuff, right?
Yeah. And I think that's more so from like what's going on. Like they were able to determine like cause of death, strangulation from like, which we'll mention here in one specific case, things like a stethoscope were used to strangle.
Okay, I see. Okay, and, so that makes sense then.
Yeah. And so they're like, okay, you know, implements that were used, people saying that they may have seen a social worker with some like rougher features, maybe a nurse. So if they seen a nurse, say, enter an apartment building, someone's like, oh yeah, about a week ago, I saw some nurse, kind of, you know, rougher looking nurse go up that floor that way. And then there happened to be a victim. They're like, okay, so a nurse that does not live in this building, that no one recognizes, rougher features, kind of looks like a man, here we have a bit of a profile. And then if someone else says a similar thing, hey, here's some connecting the dots.
So I feel like I might have just connected a dot, but okay.
What dot did you connect?
That maybe this female is dressing up or portrays themselves as a man is what I just kind of thought of.
Okay.
But you can carry on.
Okay. Well, for the sake of us giving out the information at the beginning so you can look at it with a perspective, I will answer that question now if that's all right with you.
Sure.
Okay. You've got it backwards. It's a masculine woman who is dressing in real nurse clothing. And what you just said, that they think it's, or sorry, close to what you said, the authorities are thinking it's a man dressing up like a woman. When reality, it's just a masculine looking woman dressing in women's clothes.
Okay.
So it is a woman. They just happen to look a little masculine.
Okay. I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
I completely lost my place now because of that. Fantastic.
Sorry. I was just, whenever I feel like I maybe caught something, it needs to be announced.
No, that's good. That's totally fine. That's
but what I got it wrong.
That's what we do. We talk about things,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, I got my spot here. So it is unfortunate to say that this was kind of a rather stalemate situation that they were in at this point. They were in this situation for quite some time. Investigators were looking for a male serial killer with nothing more to go on other than, hey, they might be dressing up like a nurse or social worker. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, however, in the meantime, the little old lady killer, or El Maravillajitas, continued their brutal spree. On June 17th of 2005, now remember, this began in 2002.
Yeah.
Maria Guadalupe Nunez Almanza, 78 years old, answered a knock at her front door. There, a nurse identified themselves as someone from a community care project. And they were there to offer a health checkup, which may turn out to qualify this Maria for some government aid. So Maria opened the door and let this woman in, this person. And once inside, Maria was sat down in a chair. And the individual opened up kind of a work bag, began bringing out some tools like stethoscope around their neck and stuff. And they approached from behind in the chair where Maria was sitting. And from there, they took the stethoscope, wrapped it around her neck, and began to strangle Maria to death. Maria would be the 30th victim of El Maravillajitas.
30th victim.
30th at this point.
Holy shit.
I unfortunately, if I went through the entire list of victims, reading out the names, it would probably be at least half an hour of me struggling to pronounce Spanish names. So for the sake of time and this case and butchering the deceased names, I am progressing a bit here.
Yeah. Well, this one that you just said, I was thinking maybe this was the one that like got them caught or it was going to be different or something. But no, that was just a real Debbie Downer right there.
Sorry. I mean, it's a true crime case. It's going to be a Debbie Downer. You expect this to be sunshine and rainbows?
Sometimes I do, and I don't
sunshine,
really know why.
Lollipops,
delusional
rainbows. That it's not bad to have a good perspective and outlook on the world and hope for the best. That's a good thing.
It is, but sometimes I'm just like, gosh, I'm sitting here like, and that surprises me. Yeah. Which I don't know why the fuck it does at this point.
I don't know either. Now, despite authorities warning individuals from, you know, opening their door to strangers, you know, especially the elderly people mm-hmm. who are now clearly the target of the little old lady killer, the key to the story was, as I already mentioned, the misgendering. The theory of who this individual could be and the image that was painted to the public was a man who would show up knocking at your door, wearing women's nursing clothes or social working clothes. So this is who the police were looking for, and this is who the public were keeping an eye open for as well. So when they find a female nurse at their door, it kind of relieves a lot of that tension. And I'm pretty sure it wiped away a lot of the concern and reservations about letting this individual inside.
I guess. I feel like I would still be skeptical though.
Yeah.
But I mean, not blaming any of them, especially like lots of people go about targeting elderly people, which is just not okay.
Yeah. It's very unfortunate.
Yeah.
Now, there were some things that the police were trying to do in the meantime and to find and stop the serial killer. I don't really want to portray the police force as they were sitting back doing nothing. They were trying. They were just kind of doing everything wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like, like if you're lost and you're like, oh, I got to find my way out of here. And you take a left and a right and a left. Well, the right pass was right, left, right, but you went the complete opposite way. It's, you're trying, you just happen to get it all wrong. You know what I mean?
Well, and sometimes it's often a lot easier to realize that after the fact.
Hindsight is 20/20, they say, yeah. Right? So totally agree with you. Now, some of the things that they did was they set up a sting operation with old ladies frequenting parks. Now, there was an operation with some leads and theories that the killer was scoping out victims in these parks. So like, if we can, you know, set up some sting operations, maybe catch someone approaching these individuals. Unfortunately, complete bust. Nothing happened. They were also beginning to arrest trans sex workers that they, you know, they're hoping that maybe these individuals were the culprit, or at the very least, perhaps might know someone because maybe it's in their community. And these aren't maybe the best tactics, but they were trying at least something. Now, El Maravillajitas would continue killing. However, on October 18th, when they killed Maria de los Angeles Repes Hernandez, who was 92 years old, by beating and strangling her with a scarf, the killings suddenly stopped. They've been occurring on a monthly basis at least for 2 years now. And suddenly, there was nothing.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It left investigators scratching their heads, not knowing what to do next. They thought, we need more evidence. Unfortunately, like, we have not enough right now. What's going on? Perhaps maybe they thought maybe the perpetrator had committed suicide at this point. What's the reason for the stomping? They didn't know. Now, however, it was until January 25th of 2006 when El Maravillajitas would slay their last victim. 84-year-old Ana Marie de los Reyes Alfaro, like so many before, she opened their door to a person they suspected was a nurse. Thankfully, this time, there would be a witness to this crime.
Okay.
At least partially. So Ana Maria lived in, I'm going to butcher this district name, but I'm going to try, Venustiano Carranza District. And she lived with a tenant who was renting out a portion of her home. That tenant just so happened to be returning home. They were at the right place at the right time. And when they were returning home, they witnessed a suspicious person leaving the house.
Okay, this is good. This is good.
Now, they quickly managed to flag down passing by police officers and pointed out the individual. They're like, this person's just leaving this house. I don't know if it's a break and enter, what's going on.
Yeah.
But something's not right. Like, there they are.
They had like an intuition and they just like acted on it.
Yeah.
By the sounds of it.
And so police went after him. And this individual, who is now fleeing the scene on foot, was eventually and thankfully caught up to by officers and taken into custody. The officers proceeded to enter the house and check on 84-year-old Ana Maria, to which they found her dead in her home as she had been strangled with a stethoscope. It was too late.
Dang. Yeah.
This is when they would make the realization of just who it was that they had caught, the little old lady killer, who was in fact not a man dressed up in women's clothes, but simply just a woman who might have had a little bit more broader features or masculine features, and was a woman by the name of Juana Barraza. Now, Juana was born to the rural outskirts of Mexico City, and in her early life, it was filled with hardship and tragedy. She was born to an alcoholic mother who reportedly eventually exchanged her for mere 3 beers to a man. She traded her daughter for 3 beer. And that man would go on to repeatedly abuse and rape Juana. The abuse led her to becoming pregnant with her first child, a son. Now, despite this adversity that she faced, Juana went on to have 3 more children, 4 in total, though tragedy struck again when her oldest son succumbed to injuries sustained from a mugging. It was a life marked by struggle and pain, but somewhere in her dark life, she found some hope and aspiration. The aspiration that Juana found was a fascination with Lucha Libre, the vibrant world of Mexican mass professional wrestling. You know, those leather masks that are laced up in the back, right?
Yeah.
She harbored dreams of stepping into the ring herself. Now, her reality was quite different. Rather than being a professional wrestler, Juana was a promoter for organized events with organizations and independent wrestlers. So she was working adjacent with the industry, but she was not a wrestler herself. However, her love for the sport led her to create a fictional persona for herself under the guise of La Dama del Silencio, aka the Lady of Silence. She spun tales of her supposed wrestling career, complete with a pink jumpsuit and butterfly-themed Lucha Libre mask, which she actually owned and had. With her masculine features and larger frame, she was quite an imposing figure when donning her outfit. She regaled others with the stories of her triumphs, including a stint where she was called into the WWF's Women's Championship in the United States, which she claimed eventually she had to retire due to an injury. Now, many people doubted her tales, especially the one regaling about the WWF, the biggest wrestling federation in the world. They doubted a bit of this, but for Juana, you know, this fabricated wrestling career was a lifeline, a way to escape the harsh realities of her life and immerse herself in a world of her own creation. Despite never stepping foot in a professional wrestling ring as a competitor, her imagination allowed her to live out her dreams through her alter ego. Now, it is important to note that Juana's involvement in wrestling, or lack thereof, had no bearing on the heinous crimes that she committed. Despite being falsely portrayed as a murderous wrestler in some accounts, her true identity and motivations lay far from the world of sports entertainment. I think it's very important to note that she was not a murderous wrestler, but it was very much so. Wrestling was a big part of her life and who she was. I need to take a sip of coffee because that was a long stint of talking.
Yeah. I'm just still processing all of that.
It's quite the backstory.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of the backstories in these cases are horrible. But yeah, I don't know. You almost have to think, though, that her wrestling or did play a bit of a part in there, and the fact that maybe she liked like violence or something. I don't know.
It's possible. It definitely is. And I mean, during questioning, Juana confessed to having strangled at least one of the women, which was the individual that she was caught at, right?
Yeah.
Stating that she committed the crime out of a sense of anger at elderly women in general. Now, her hatred was rooted in feelings towards her mother, her alcoholic mother, who gave her away at the age of 12.
Okay, I see. So that's why she's picking these elderly females.
Yeah. Now, according to Juana, though, she wasn't the only one behind these killings. After being confronted by the press, Juana asked, quote, "With all due respect to the authorities, there are several of us involved in extortion and killing people. So why don't the police go after others too?"
I don't know if I believe that so much.
No?
I don't know. So what, there's this little group of people that go and kill elderly women? Like, did shit still happen after she was caught?
No.
So there you go.
According to police, Juana Barraza acted alone. They could find a lot of, like I mentioned, they found fingerprints. She didn't wear gloves. So at the scenes, they continued to find fingerprints. And they were able to match her prints with everything that they found that was left behind at the scenes. So it was kind of like, yeah, we're doubting there's anyone else.
That sounds kind of like some backpedaling there.
Yeah. So in the spring of 2008, El Maravillajitas, aka the little old lady killer, Juana Barraza, stood trial. The prosecution accused her of up to 40 murders in total. Shockingly, Juana admitted to, as I mentioned, just one, that of Alfaro, which was the individual from whom she was apprehended while attempting to flee the scene.
She admitted to only one?
She admitted to only the last one when she was
caught. Oh my gosh, this lady. Okay. Yeah.
However, she also adamantly maintained that she hadn't acted alone and hinted at the involvement of others in the gruesome deeds. But as I mentioned, even in the trial now, there was no evidence that was able to be brought forward of this. Juana's motive, now to me, is both surprising and not at the same time, like there are the two parts to it. I mentioned already that she kind of was like, that she disclosed to authorities the deep-rooted resentment towards her mother and the whole like mistreatment as a child sort of thing. That was one of them. But she also harbored simmering resentment towards, you know, by extension, other elderly individuals whom she perceived as offering nothing of value to society. Yeah.
Wow.
In her distorted view, she saw herself not only exacting vengeance for her past, but also purging society of what deemed to be a burden of individuals. So she's like, these people are useless, not offering anything. That's kind of her perspective. I'm not saying that's a quote from her, but I am saying that is her perspective.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah.
That's terrible. I've never, like, that's one of the worst things I've ever heard.
Well, it's funny because not every time, but generally speaking, most time when we talk about killers who target elderly people, they say the same thing. Like, they're doing the world a favor getting rid of these, quote, useless people, which is fucked.
That is so fucked. Because I was just going to say something that I can't say, so we'll carry on.
All right, I'll carry on. Now, there is, if you will, a chilling irony to all this in her actions. And I, like, when I kind of thought about it, and this is my theory. I want to make this very forefront. This is my theory. I didn't read this anywhere. This is kind of my thoughts. So perhaps in her delusions, she saw herself as kind of a superhero, avenging the wrongs from like the past grotesque, violent manner that were like put upon her. And she imagined herself as this sort of superhero type figure in the wrestling ring in her imagination, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this was kind of her way of actually being able to live out that sick sort of persona and reality or dreams, if you will, in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
It was her way of bringing her alter ego, La Dama del Silencio, AKA the Lady of Silence, to life.
Yeah, I don't think that's super far-fetched at all.
Yeah, because I think if she stepped in the ring, she would have been getting her ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
But if she steps into a little old lady's apartment when they're all alone, she was able to, and there is a lot of evidence to prove that she used wrestling techniques in the killings as well. As I mentioned, there was one individual who had both their arms broken.
That is so sad. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I also have a ridiculous question.
What's that?
But this lady wasn't actually a freaking social worker, right? That was just,
no.
Like, she didn't work for the government or anything. No. It was just
a front.
Her way of getting in there.
It was just her way of getting into the apartments. It was just a front. She was not a social worker. She was not a nurse. My phone is ringing.
Your phone is ringing.
Okay, sorry. Hung up my phone. It's all good. We're not going to be interrupted now. Again, I hope so.
Hopefully not.
So yeah, she was not a social worker, not a nurse, none of those things. She worked with promoting events, and she worked with these corporations who are putting on these events and even other independent wrestlers. She worked adjacent to the wrestling world that she loved so much.
Okay, that was her job. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, she had nothing to do with any of this government information on like, let's do a health checkup to give you some government aid. Yeah, no, she was strictly doing this to gain access to homes to kill these ladies.
Oh man. And coming across as like a helpful individual and had their best interest. And
as soon as she sat them down, their back was turned. That's when she took advantage of them, strangling them and choking them. And even in some cases, clearly doing some fucking fucked up wrestling move shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's beyond messed.
Yeah. Anyways, on March 31st, armed with very compelling evidence in the courtroom, the police formally charged Juana Barraza with 16 counts of murder and aggravated burglary, including 11 separate murder charges. The court found her guilty on all accounts. She was handed a staggering sentence, which I think this is the largest sentence we have ever heard of.
Good.
759 years in prison.
Yes.
That is crazy large. Now, given the nature of sentences in Mexican courts, the maximum allowable sentence is 60 years, even though she was handed that. So she will serve a maximum of 60, but it is likely that she will spend the rest of her life behind bars.
It better be likely, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I just like love that sentence, to be honest.
That's wild. That's 759 years. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I feel like that should just not be abnormal, though.
I agree.
that should be sentences that people kind of get, and like there's no way that they're ever getting out kind of thing.
I agree. Because like if you look at like a killer, someone who kills a single individual, they're not a serial killer because three or more is a serial killer. Mm-hmm. You kill one person, you can get life. You should be able to get life for every fucking person you kill.
Well, yeah, because
100%.
Every life that you took matters, and that should be like – you should have to pay for that. That should be like documented, and this is, and it all adds up kind of thing, yeah. Right? And
but instead, say you have a serial killer who killed 10 people. That should be a sentence of at least 250 years. Mm-hmm. But they're like, okay, make you a deal. 30 years. Like, what? Are you fucking kidding me?
And you can apply for parole after this amount
after
of time.
After 8 years. Like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. So yeah. I agree with you wholeheartedly. 759. That, I mean, I don't know how they came up with that number. That's excessive in my opinion, because mm-hmm. I mean, people don't live like generally over 100 years, but love it. Mm-hmm. So
well, because taking that many lives, like there is absolutely no way that you should get out.
No, I agree.
That is so many. That I agree. Is so many.
If you're reformed or not, if you get reformed, fantastic. I love that for you. Love it for society. Love it for humans. All of it. But you should still be in some sort of locked up, contained a little neighborhood or something behind mm-hmm. bars. Like, yeah, sure, you're in prison, but maybe you can have a TV. Maybe you can have a little mini library and a plant in your cell. I don't know.
Well, the thing is, how do you know for sure that they are reformed?
You don't.
Is the thing.
Because right? There are people who trick the system.
Because, yeah, they are kind of like, I would imagine people that kill that many people, they're kind of like, I would say they're psychopaths or to some extent.
Generally
right?
speaking, a lot of them are proven to be, yeah.
And those kind of people can be very tricky, and they could just be playing their cards still yeah. in jail, and they're really not reformed whatsoever.
I don't know how many cases we've covered at this point where they manipulate the system. They manipulate the people, the workers that are working with them, the psychologists, the guards in the prison, and they do it for years.
They're still playing that game even though they're in there.
Yeah. And the second they get out, guess what? Back at it. Mm-hmm. So, no, I agree. Maybe it be that you just get better living conditions. Like, I'm not saying that someone should have shit conditions, but you get, like, the better you become, the more reformed you become, the more, what's the word I'm trying to think of, the more you get out of it, I guess.
I know what you're trying to think of.
The more benefits you get, I guess, but there's a word.
I can't think of it either. So everyone's like, screaming it at us.
It's like when a kid behaves. It's like, oh, you cleaned your room. Fantastic. You get to have ice cream. Mm-hmm. That sort of thing. And that's exactly what I think should be here. You should just still be locked up. You just get these benefits from being reformed. Mm-hmm. So despite her claims to the contrary, you know, basically being that her body count is only one, that's what she's saying. Many believe and have suspicions that her body count may be even higher than what she was charged for, with estimates suggesting that she could have been responsible for up to 49 different deaths and murders. Yeah. So regardless of the exact number, the sheer brutality and callousness of her crimes have left an undeniable mark on society, especially, you know, in Mexico, mm-hmm. marking her as Mexico's first female serial killer with a very vicious and cold-blooded taste at that.
Yeah, that is so many victims.
It is. That is the case of El Maravillajitas, a.k.a. the Little Old Lady Killer.
The Little Old Lady Killer.
Yeah. Or I guess, as I should say, La Maravillajitas. Not
yeah.
El.
Yeah. You know, when you first brought this case up, or we chatted about it like very briefly, I was thinking that it was a little lady that was a killer.
Yeah, that's not the case, but I can see where you can get that out of the moniker for sure.
Yeah, which I feel like I was going to say would be better, but no, none of it would be better.
Well, I mean, I think we have covered a case, the granny killer, I think it is, where it's this old lady who killed people. Yeah.
Really?
I think so. I'm pretty sure we covered that one.
I don't remember that one whatsoever.
I'm Googling it right now. The granny killer.
Where a little lady is a murderer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, this is bringing up something. Tamara Simonova. She was a Russian or something like that. Let me see. Is a Russian alleged serial killer who was arrested in July of 2015 on suspicions of committing two murders with extreme cruelty. She supposedly had schizophrenia and was previously hospitalized 3 times for psychiatric hospitals. She was like in her 70s or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't remember that whatsoever if we did.
Oh, this is actually, so the Granny Ripper, I think was her nickname. The Granny Ripper is what we might've called her. Actually, it also has another moniker under here, Baba Yaga. John Wick's got the same moniker.
Freaking John Wick.
I know, right?
I'm obsessed with
Nicole,
him.
You freaking love him so much.
He's a good dude.
You would marry him over me any day.
No, but I like his values. No,
but
all for his dog, you know?
All for his dog, definitely. So yeah, that was an interesting one to research. And
no kidding.
I like going through ones where it's in different countries, it's international, going into other cultures. And though it's rough pronouncing some of these names, I like going out and bringing life to these stories that are outside of just North America, you know?
Yeah, well, this one is pretty sad.
It is.
Man.
49. Up to 49 people they suspect.
I mean, and all, like, most of those people, they could have had kids and like grandkids and even maybe great grandkids.
Oh, definitely. And a lot of people in Mexico are known for their family values and their large families too. So it's like they would have had a lot of kids, a lot of grandkids, and they're all so close. So yeah. I imagine the impact that would have had on those families too.
Yeah. Just the vast number of people that were impacted from all of those killings is... I can't even imagine how big it is.
Yeah. So.
Well done.
Thank you.
As usual.
Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. If you want to check out more from us, go in the link of this podcast or the description of this podcast. All links are down there. Patreon. We have a website. We have Instagram. We have Facebook. We have 2 YouTube channels. All of it is there. Check it out. If you would be so kind, if you haven't already, we'd appreciate any rating that you give us. 5 stars, of course, if I may suggest, but do what you like. We understand if you see fit otherwise. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
do
five,
we?
Five stars is cool. 5 stars is cool.
Yeah, no, ratings would be awesome.
Yeah,
if you have a spare minute, it would be very appreciated.
It really helps the show grow. We've been going for over 3 years at this point.
Wild.
And like I said, at the very beginning, coming up on episode 200 soon. So.
Wow. Hey. Yeah. Wow.
Definitely. So.
How many people, I wonder, have listened to every episode?
Oh, we're over 2 million listens. 2 million downloads.
Well, yeah, but I just mean like... I mean, a majority of people listening probably have listened to every episode, which
from
is
the beginning,
just crazy.
From the beginning.
They've been with us through it all.
I think we've changed a lot since the beginning. I know I used to swear a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah,
more.
You did. Yeah. I think, I don't know. I probably did too. Toned it down a bit.
Yeah. I don't know.
Let our true Canadians come out now.
Yeah.
I know I say A probably way more. It's like, gosh.
Yeah.
Shush.
I mean, honestly, we didn't really give a fuck then. We don't really give a fuck now. So we're just being us.
We do.
We do.
We
do. But it's important for us to still be ourselves.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it totally is.
Anyways, thank you guys so much for being here. We appreciate you. And as always,
back to you.
Stay wicked.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.